Welcome to another edition of the John Kirkland Show. I am so glad everyone was able to join me this morning as we get to a lot of good things that have happened in the sports world between last week and yesterday. Let's start with the big game. Game one of the finals, the Lakers versus the Heat. The final score was 116-98. Now, in this particular discussion, this particular segment, I'm going to kind of break down the statistical aspects of this game. Number one, the Heat got off to a great start. I saw them in the first quarter. They got off to a great start. It seemed like they were going to control the pace of the game. It appeared that way, and then they kind of disappeared. But there's a lot of interesting stats that kind of panned into what it is that I'm going to say at this point. When you look at the final score of 116-98, let's look at the Heat stats. Bam had 21 minutes, 2 of 8, 4 rebounds, 8 points. Jimmy Butler played 33 minutes, went 8 of 13, 2 rebounds, 23 points, 5 assists. Jay Crowder, 25 minutes, 4 of 8, 2 rebounds, and 12 points. Now, the interesting stat that I really paid a lot attention to was the Lakers bench versus the Heat bench. And the interesting part about that was that the Heat bench, two players shot better than everybody on the Lakers bench, which didn't make a lot of sense to me at all. K-Nunn and Tyler Hero. Tyler Hero played 30 minutes, went 6 of 18, 2 of 8 from the three-point line, 4 rebounds, 14 minutes. K-9 played 20 minutes, 8 of 11, 2 of 4 from three-point line, 5 rebounds, and 18 points. For a combined, they went 14 of 29, and they shot 48% from the field. They actually shot better than Morris, Kuzma, Rondo, and Caruso. That is the interesting stat, ladies and gentlemen. They shot better than both of them, and each one of them played 20 minutes or better. Caruso being the much better shooter in this debate. The Lakers went 10 of 26, and this is just the bench. This is not including LeBron James. The bench went 10 of 26 for 38%, and the Heat went 14 of 29 for 48%. So again, those two players shot 10% better than all four players who came off the bench, which is an interesting stat for the Heat. Anthony Davis, 38 minutes, 11 of 21, 2 of 4 from three-point line, 9 rebounds, 5 assists, and he totaled in 34 points. LeBron James, 36 minutes, 9 of 17, 2 of 4 from three-point line, 13 rebounds, 9 assists, 25 points. Dwight Howard, 15 minutes, 8 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 points. Danny Green, 30 minutes, 4 of 9, shooting 3 of 8 from the 3-point line, 4 rebounds, 1 assist, 11 points. And Caldwell Pope, 30 minutes, 3 of 10, 2 of 6 from the 3-point line, 2 rebounds, and 13 points. Both teams actually shot well in this game. The Lakers were up by as many as 32 points in the game. But the interesting stat that I saw was that the game was pretty close statistically. In the second half, the Lakers outscored the Miami Heat 51-49. In rebounds, the Lakers were the superior team. They out-rebounded the Heat 54-36. And the Lakers shot 92% from the free throw line, and the Heat shot 78% from the free throw line. But both teams shot really well. Both teams, the Lakers shot 45%, and the Heat shot 42% for a team who've only scored 98 points. So in other words, out of 38 field goals, they were only able to score 98 points. And out of 38 field goals, the Lakers were able to score 116. The Lakers shot well from the three-point line, 39%. Heat shot 31% from the three-point line. So that's the interesting stat. But the Heat tonight, game one, they lost by 18 points. there's a lot that was wrong with this game in terms of the Heat. For all the Heat fans, there's no excuses. The Heat are a really good basketball team. There's no doubt about it. There's no argument about it. The Lakers are just a dominant team. They're just that good. They're just the better team. And you have to give credit to the Lakers organization. You have to. You know, Jeanne Buss. You have to give the coach, assistant coaches, everybody that makes that organization what it is, you got to give them credit, because this was the Lakers team last year. You didn't know where they were going. And now they're in the finals. They just won game one. They got three more games left, and you can call them world champions. And not to write off the Heat. Not to write off the Heat. I do believe that they're going to rebound. I do believe that they're going to get better. I do believe that they may win game two or game three. I'm expecting it. I see it coming. So I do believe they're going to get better. That's a really good basketball team over there, ladies and gentlemen, Miami Heat. And no one thought they would be where they're at today. That's what's the interesting part about the Heat. No one thought they would be there. And I give them a lot of credit. Shout out to Coach Spoelstra. He did a hell of a job. Hell of a job. Ladies and gentlemen, you have to give him credit. You have to give him credit. I'm just what he had. And if you notice, the youth surrounded by Jimmy Butler is amazing, and how competitive they have been in the East. And being able to knock out some of the best teams in the East. Interesting. They took down Boston. And congratulations to Boston and their effort. They tried, and they just came up a little bit short. But I know they'll be back next year. Awesome two teams in the East. Congratulations to the Nuggets. Shout out to them, man. They were tough. Two game sevens in a row. And winning, and just to get to the Lakers and lose to the superior team. But wow, hats off to those guys. They played their butts off. What an incredible season for them. But back to the Lakers. Coach Vogel, shout out to him. Amazing job. I don't think Vogel's going to get enough credit for what he's done. Being able to take an uncertain team. When you take over the Lakers team, let's say you take over at the beginning of the year, you have no idea what you're getting. You have no idea where this team is going to go. And Vogel took this team to a whole nother level. So shout out to Vogel, man. He's wow. Anyway. Now, the interesting stat that I thought was pretty interesting was that the bench scored 32. The Heat bench outscored the Lakers 32-28 in this game. So that's my point, is that I really feel like the Heat will get better. That's why I think this game is going to end in five. That's why I'm giving them at least one game. Because there's going to be that one game where they just light us up. And they have the ability to do that. They have the shooters. They have it, and that's for sure. Alex Caruso played 22 minutes, went 4 of 6, 4 rebounds, 10 points. I love his effort. I love what he gives the Lakers off the bench. I think it's incredible. He works hard, plays hard. I can't say enough about Caruso. I thought that Kyle Kuzma had an off night tonight. He gave us 8 rebounds, which was enough to get us through. So I think that the Lakers have to put up the same performance in game 2 on Friday night if they want to win. And ladies and gentlemen, if you want to see the game on Friday night, please tune in to ABC, 6 p.m. tip-off, Lakers Heat game 2 of the NBA Finals. I have a question for all of my listeners out there. How was your weekend last week? My weekend was great. I was able to watch all the boxing fights, all the UFCs, and I will tap into all of those. I have some NBA questions. I'm going to stick to the NBA, but we're going to get to all that. The boxing, NFL, all those good games. But here are the two questions. With Doc Rivers out as Clippers head coach, what does that mean for the coaching candidates that potentially could be the head coach of the Philadelphia 76ers? Well, that's a good question. Well, I think it opens up the doors again for Doc Rivers. If Doc Rivers wants a particular job, I believe Doc Rivers will get it because of his coaching experience and because of what he would bring to that organization. I do believe that he's the strongest candidate right now for the Philadelphia 76ers. I do believe that Tyronn Lue will be the head coach of the Clippers. And I don't know where the other coaches will end up. At that point, there will not be any more interesting coaching vacancies for a D'Antoni or some of the other coaches that may interview for certain jobs there. Now, going to the NFL, I kind of want to get into the NFL tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, I encourage you to tune in to NFL football, Thursday night football. You can catch this game, the Broncos in New York, taking on the Jets on the NFL channel at 5:20 kickoff. I encourage you to watch the game. It's going to be a very good game against two teams looking for their first win of the season. And who do I have? Surprisingly, I'm going to go with the upset. I'm going to go with the Broncos on the road. Sunday night. I know all the 49er fans are looking forward to this game. And this game is going to kick off on NBC 5:20 on Sunday night. The Eagles will head to Santa Clara to take on those 49ers. On Monday night football right there on ESPN, 5:15 start on ESPN. Ladies and gentlemen, the Falcons are on the road at the Red Hot Packers. And I do believe that the Packers will take care of business and they will beat the struggling Falcons. I kind of want to switch to the NCAA football, and it's going to kick off with the second week of the SEC games. But before we get to those games, I just want to let everybody know that Big Ten football is back, and they will return Saturday, October the 24th, and that will be their first game. Big games coming up on Saturday. These are the key games that I thought were important. Number 13, Texas A&M travels to number 2, Alabama. Number 7, Auburn travels to number 4, Georgia. Those are the two games that I think will be very important. And the reason why I believe that they're going to be very important because I feel like they're going to have playoff implications and division bragging rights as well. Here are your top 10 college rankings. Clemson Tigers at 2-0. They're number 1 at 1-0. Alabama, number 3. Florida Gators at 1-0. Georgia Bulldogs 1-0 at number 4. Notre Dame at 2-0, number 5. Right now, they're not ranked. They haven't kicked off their season. That's why they're not ranked. But number 6, Ohio State, 1-0. Number 7, Auburn Tigers. Number 8, Miami Hurricanes at 3-0. Number 9, Texas Longhorns at 2-0. And number 10, Penn State, not ranked, but they are ranked number 10, but their season has not started, and it will kick off on the 24th. Interesting. Now we're going to move on to boxing because there's so much that I have to cover within the next few minutes here. Was there anyone who was able to check out those Charlo brothers? As you're sitting in your car on your way to work this morning, were you able to watch those Charlo brothers last Saturday? I think the Charlo brothers have proven a lot, and it was frustrating because I felt like they didn't get the credit that they should have gotten. However, we're gonna talk about that. And we're going to start with the heavyweight division. There's no set date yet, according to my sources, but Deontay Wilder has exercised his rematch clause against Tyson Fury, and that fight will kick off at a later date and time. Anthony Joshua is back in the ring December 12th against Khabib Poilev. Khabib Poilev is rated the number 9 ranked heavyweight in the world. That is going to be a great fight. Couple of things that I wanted to talk about also is I wanted to just make this perfectly clear. I've been hearing a lot of chatter between Devin Haney and Gary Russell Jr. And here's my take on it. I feel like Gary Russell Jr. has been in the sport for a long time. This is a guy who has faced some of the best fighters in the division, and he does have the bragging rights. He does have the position to where he could talk trash if he wanted to, because he's world champion, and he could talk trash if he wants to because of what he's done in the sport. However, I'm not taking anything away from Devin Haney. Devin Haney has came out multiple times and said that he wanted to fight some of the best fighters that the division has to offer. I give him credit for that. But I think what Devin Haney doesn't really understand is that a lot of people, and this is by popular opinion, is that he was handed the championship belt. He didn't beat anybody for it. And I think that's where the lack of respect comes in at. I know his dad is gonna try to justify that. But the truth is the truth. Now, that's not disregarding and saying, hey, Devin Haney is not a world champion. Devin Haney can't do this or that. Or Devin Haney cannot be the best fighters, former champions in the world. Absolutely not. I'm not saying that. Because at some point, the skill and the theory will be tested. It will be tested, and we're going to find out. So it doesn't matter what Devin Haney's dad says or what Devin Haney says. They got to get in the ring. Devin Haney has to get in the ring, and we're going to find out. And I'm not doubting his skills. Again, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not doubting his skills. I think that it will be a great matchup between him and Gary Russell. I hope that they're able to come to some sort of agreement and make that fight happen. I think it'd be great for Gary Russell to prove that he's the best in the world. I also feel like it's a great fight for Devin Haney because he'll be able to fight a guy, a proven fighter, to where people will not say he didn't fight anybody for the world title at 135. So Devin Haney, the one thing that Devin Haney has to realize is this, is that you're asking Gary Russell Jr. to jump up from 126 to 135. That's two weight classes. So my point to Devin Haney is that if Gary Russell moves up to two weight classes and beats you at 135, what does that say about you as a fighter? However, if Devin Haney is victorious and he's able to beat a Gary Russell Jr., now, does that open the door for maybe a Lomachenko down the road? Does that open an opportunity for him to fight Teofimo Lopez? Is that a opportunity for him to fight maybe a Gervonta Davis or Luke Campbell down the road, which is all top fighters? Every guy just named right now, with the exception of Devin Haney, is a top 5 fighter in the same division that Devin Haney fights in at 135. So I think those are the bigger fights. That's where the money is. So hopefully Devin Haney looks at it this way. We respect the brand. We respect the skill. Give the people what they want to see. If you can't make Gary Russell, if you can't make that fight, then let's sit back and wait on the winner of Luke Campbell and Ryan Garcia fight, maybe. If you can't get that fight, then let's see what Gervonta Davis is saying. Let's see what happens after the Leo Santa Cruz fight. If we can't get that, then let's see if we can fight the winner of Lomachenko and Teofimo Lopez. Or let's see if we can get Cromie. There's options for sure. There's options for sure. And from my understanding and from several sources, they're saying, hey, people are scared to fight Devin Haney. I don't think so. I think it's a money situation. I think it's negotiations. I do believe that fighters tend to to price themselves out. I think those things do happen for sure. But again, I would love to see Devin Haney fight one of the top five fighters in the world. Now, let's jump up to the 160 mark, which would be the middleweight division, which would hold Canelo Alvarez, Gennady Golovkin, Jermall Charlo, Demetrius Andre, and Sergey Dvernchenko. The one thing that I want to say about that division is that I just named the best fighters in the world in terms of the middleweight division at 160. I'm not sure where Canelo goes at this point in his career. However, Jermall Charlo is the best fighter at 160 at this time, at this particular time. So when it comes down to Canelo Alvarez, I would take a long look at Jermall Charlo because, again, this is a guy who's hungry. This is a guy who's going to bring something to the table in terms of a big money fight. I think the fight can get done. If you talk to Al Haymon, I think that fight can get done at some point. It can get done on Showtime pay-per-view. A lot of money in for both guys. Canelo Alvarez comes in at 53 wins, one loss, and two draws. But here's the thing. With 53 victories versus Jermall's 30 victories, no losses, that's worth must-see TV. Because you're talking about a more experienced fighter, and I would give Canelo the edge in that fight. I love Jermall Charlo, and I think Jermall Charlo would really push Canelo Alvarez to the max. But I think Canelo would find a way to get the victory in that fight. Demetrius Andre, if the Canelo fight cannot get done, I if I'm Jermall, I'm looking at Triple G. Let's see if we can get that fight done. If that fight can't get done, I'm looking at Demetrius Andre. Because he can't fight Sergey because he's already beat him. So that's going to be interesting how that plays out. Now, the junior middleweight is interesting. It's interesting. It's loaded. You got Jermall Charlo, 33-1. You got Jason Rosario at 20 victories, one loss, one draw. Julian Williams, 27 victories, two losses, one draw. Jared Hurd, 24 victories, one loss. Eders Lunderlanera, he had 26 victories, three losses, and three draws. Tony Harrison is also 28 victories, three losses. Liam Smith is also 29 victories, two losses, one draw, and Erickson Lubin has 22 victories, one loss. Now, these are everybody that's in the top 10. So if I am Jermall Charlo, I would look at maybe a Jared Hurd down the road, maybe a Lara down the road, maybe a rematch with Tony Harrison if I can't get Erickson Lubin, Liam Smith, or a rematch with Rosario, or if Julian Williams is not there, I would definitely entertain the opportunity of getting Rosario an opportunity of a rematch. Not sure what's in his clause, but however, I do believe that at that point, he would be worthy of a title shot. However, let's say that fight does not get made. An interesting fight to me would be maybe a Tony Harrison versus Lara and Jared Hurd versus Julian Williams again. I think that would be two great fights on PBC Boxing. I think if they can get that done, I would say I would look at it as a title eliminator. And just say, hey, the winner would fight Jermall Charlo for unification. For all the belts. I would just make it fair, just like that. And then we have I'm going to move on here to the welterweight division at 147, and it's stacked. But I want to talk about Terrence Crawford. I want to talk about TC for a minute. I will say this, and to me, this is a fact. This is what I believe as a boxing fan. I do believe there's a lot of fighters in that division that are scared to fight Terrence Crawford at 147. They are frightened. They are frightened to fight arguably the best fighter in the division. And besides Errol Spence and Terrence Crawford are the two undefeated fighters in the welterweight division at 147. Errol Spence will fight the number 6 contender in the world, Danny Garcia, at 36 and 2 losses. I will give my take on this. Two things. Danny Garcia is very hungry, which is going to make it a close fight. But the question is for Errol Spence, are we going to get the Errol Spence that we're accustomed to seeing? Or are we going to get the Errol Spence that we don't know yet, that we haven't seen yet? Those questions can be answered November the 21st on Fox Pay-Per-View. Two of the biggest names in the sport at 147. Now, outside of those two fighters, let's take those two fighters out of the equation. Manny Pacquiao should give an opportunity to Sean Porter, Terrence Crawford, and see what happens. I give the edge to any of those fighters. I give the edge to Manny Pacquiao. Why? Why? Because this man has 62 victories. 62 victories. Manny Pacquiao has had more victories than any fighter in any division possible, in any weight class possible in the sport of boxing. No one has 60 victories. Floyd Mayweather didn't even have 60 victories. But the man was perfect. He didn't have a loss either. So, to me, I think the cash cow is Manny Pacquiao. If I'm Manny Pacquiao, I would try to get something done with Sean Porter. He beat Keith Thurman. I think Keith Thurman should fight to get a shot with Manny Pacquiao, but I don't think it's a rush for Manny Pacquiao. But I would definitely look at maybe a Terrence Crawford. If I can't get Terrence Crawford, I would definitely look at a Ugas, maybe a Ugas on ESPN or Showtime. Or I will look at, I will look at Sean Porter for sure. And those are your top fighters at 147. At 130, you're looking at Leo Santa Cruz. Leo Santa Cruz is 37-1. Now, Leo Santa Cruz is going to be a champion at the 130 mark, and Gervonta Davis is a champion at the lightweight 135. So both fighters can be a champion in two different divisions. That's going to be an interesting victory for either fighter. They're going to be able to control the weight classes in terms of where they rank based on the victory. Leo Santa Cruz is rated the number 8 130-pound champion in the world. The Gervonta Davis is ranked the number 4 lightweight world champion at the 135 weight limit. So Leo Santa Cruz is only moving up one class to fight Gervonta Davis in October. That's going to be a hell of a fight. To me, it's going to be awesome. But when you talk about the 130 pound division, I keep hearing about Tevin Farmer. He wants to fight Jojo Diaz. He wants his rematch again. Here's the thing about Tevin Farmer, though. And I'm just going to say this. Tevin Farmer, you lost. You lost. To me, if I'm Tevin Farmer, I'm calling out Leo Santa Cruz. If I'm Tevin Farmer, I'm saying, hey, forget it. You're a money man. You're a businessman. I'm calling out Miguel Bichette, the number one fighter at 130. Let's go for the gusto. I'm calling out Oscar Valdez, 27-0. 27-0, that'd be a great fight. Number three versus number nine. I'm calling everybody out. That's what I would do. That's what I would do. Shakur Stevenson, the number three featherweight in the world. He moved up to 130. So can we see a Shakur Stevenson maybe fight an Oscar Valdez? Can we see a Shakur Stevenson maybe fight Tevin Farmer, Jojo Diaz? These are all top contenders for the weight class that he moved up because he vacated his WBO title. So at the featherweight division. So again, that would be a great option. In my personal opinion, I think it'd be a great, great option. Real quick, ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't had the opportunity to vote, if you haven't thought about voting or registered, get out there, register ASAP. We got to get Donald Trump out of here. This guy is tearing up the world. I listened to the campaign, the speech yesterday, as the rest of you have, and I believe that we're all in agreement that Donald Trump needs to go. We're going to have to go ahead and vote for the Biden and Harris administration, which I'm very excited about, and I think that they will do a terrific job for the next 4 years. I think that's a great team. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for a terrific morning. Thank you for taking the time out to listen to me this morning as you're headed to work. Tune in next Thursday, early morning. You'll be with me and we will go over the finals game. We will go over the NBA, NFL, boxing, etc., etc. Thank you for tuning in. Everyone be safe and God bless.